This week's episode of Zen Founder continues our series on co-founder relationships. Later on in the episode, Sherry interviews Anders Petersen. He's founder of Time Block, and he talks about a failed co-founder relationship that really took a toll on him in terms of stress. And it's kind of a list of a lot of mistakes that he realized in retrospect. And it's an interesting story about how these kinds of relationships can fall apart. But before we do that, I wanted to talk about one of the questions that came in from listeners. Sherry and I did a call for questions about co-founder relationships, both on Twitter and to our email list. If you're not following us on Twitter, you can connect with me at Rob Walling, and Sherry is at Zen Founder. If you haven't signed up for our email list, you should come to zenfounder.com, enter your email in the lower right, and that allows us to communicate directly with you on topics like this. If we need specific questions, we will talk to the list every now and again. We received almost 20 questions when we did this call, so we may not be able to answer every single one of them during this series, but one that stood out to me was a question that asked, what should I do if two founders who have once been friends aren't friends anymore for personal reasons? However, they run a business together that basically runs by itself and funds their lives. However, they can't or don't want to invest in growing that business anymore. What can they do to ensure that it continues to run and doesn't bother them too much emotionally? And I really see three options to this. And I think that there need to be a lot more discussion and some more details to figure out which option is best for you. And it's also going to depend on your preference. I think the cleanest and easiest way out of this situation is to sell the business. And I'm assuming that this is an online business and not a dry cleaner or a car wash. And with the kind of the rise of some reputable online business brokers, there's much more of an ecosystem to exit out of these smaller businesses that we've built. And the multiples are, frankly, not too bad if you've built a business that's making enough money to live on. You can sell it for several hundred thousand dollars, and that would be the cleanest, easiest, and simplest way to put kind of a final period after this relationship. There are many brokers out there. FE International is a good one. Latonis, Empire Flippers. Those are three that I think you should talk to if you consider selling the business, taking an exit, and basically splitting the proceeds. The next option I would consider is to essentially hire a CEO or a manager, someone to basically run the business who can make decisions so that you guys don't need to be involved. There's danger to this one, though. What happens when or if the manager leaves? Then the two of you, the two friends who aren't friends anymore, have to find another person to run the business. And if neither of you want to invest time in the business, it's going to be kind of a, feels to me like it might be a finger pointy thing, right? Where you don't want to do it, your co-founder doesn't want to do it, and that could, in essence, allow the business to slide if A, you can't find the right person, or B, if the right person leaves in a year or two. And I think that's what I want to underscore here is nothing is going to make this business run perpetually without your involvement. And so at some point, one of you is going to need to invest time to keep the business moving forward. At times when things happen, like Google dropping your rankings, if that's a major traffic source, or your supplier changing up and increasing prices or becoming unreliable, or your software failing, or you need a server upgrade, or you need, there's just so many things that will go on. These businesses, it's very, very rare, unless you've like written a book and a publisher's handling everything, or you've really outsourced it to the extent that someone super reliable who's going to be around for a decade is doing it. None of these things are forever. They change so frequently. And so I would not think of this business as something that is going to run on autopilot. I would be thinking, how long until it stops running on autopilot? Because probably once a year, I bet you're going to run into something that's going to require time from one or both of you, and you need to know how you're going to handle that. Okay, so that was my second idea, was to try to find someone who's good enough to run it without you. To be honest, I think it's going to be very, very hard to find someone like that. You might be able to outsource it to someone who can run it, but if things go wrong, it's going to be hard to find someone who thinks like a founder and can fix it. And so I think the third option, and I should say there's a fourth option, which is for one of you to buy the other out, but I'm not putting that on the table because I'm assuming that you don't have the cash to buy the other person out. So with that in mind, the third option that I think is reasonable is to not make this relationship based anymore and to try to make it as business-like a relationship as you can. And to that end, to agree on an hourly rate that whoever works on the business gets paid out of the business before the proceeds are split. And that will motivate you when something goes wrong, that someone will step up and put in the time to fix the thing. And so, you know, between the two of you, I'd imagine you can figure out a rate. You know, maybe at $20 an hour, it's not worth either of your time. And maybe at $50 an hour, it is worth your time to step in and to fix that issue with Google or the whatever else crops up. But what you do by taking this third option is you, in essence, take the friendship or the relationship piece out of it a little more so that you're not really contributing it to benefit you both, but you're actually contributing to the business to fix it and to make money in the short term. And I think that makes this relationship more business-like, which it sounds like might be a decent prescription here, because if you've been friends and you no longer are, you kind of need rules and you need stuff in writing, or else you have to have a lot of conversations, right? If it's unclear and it's not in writing, that's when you have to have these conversations. And it sounds like the two of you don't want to really deal with each other anymore. So those are my thoughts. If it were me personally, I would probably look to sell the business, but that's not necessarily the right choice for everyone. And as I said, I'd probably want to hear, you know, some more specifics and more details about the situation before I made a direct recommendation. So I hope that's helpful. We're going to address the remaining questions, as many as we can, at the end of this co-founder series. We have several more interviews coming out looking at different aspects of successful co-founder relationships, married co-founder relationships, and other elements that I think you're going to really enjoy. So with that, let's dive into today's interview with Anders Petersen from TimeBlock. Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about.
So Anders, if you would you just introduce yourself and tell our listeners the basics about who you are and what you do?
Yes. So my name is Anders Tue Pedersen. I'm from Denmark. I run a consultancy. We build internet solution. And on the side, I'm starting up a new product called TimeBlock, which is a time management system, which makes makers and managers happier and even customers. So it's a win-win-win. I've been self-employed since 1998 in a lot of constellations. Currently, I'm a single founder, but I used to be a double founder and a quadruple founder. So I've tried a lot of different.
So that's probably a good starting point for us, actually. You've done projects in a couple of different ways. Now you're a single founder, but you've worked with one co-founder before and then in a team. What are some of the advantages of being a single founder over working with a co-founder?
First of all, you don't have to discuss with anybody when you make decisions. You can just make them. That's really something that is valuable for me. But the most important thing for me is that when I'm with a co-founder, I tend to think that all the hard stuff, you know, selling or hard calls, I'm thinking, oh, the other guy is going to handle that. So in some way, I become like 5% responsible when I have a co-founder, and I'm 110% responsible when I'm single founder.
So for you, one of the challenges has been to like stay really motivated and work at maximum capacity when you're working with someone else.
Yeah, because I think I depend too much on the co-founder. So I'm thinking they will handle this and that, even though we didn't discuss it out in the open. Somehow I just suspected that he would do what was needed when I didn't do it. So I came to lean too much on expectations instead of really communicating clearly and who did what. And as you know, in a startup, there's a lot of hard calls and a lot of hard stuff you have to do. Sales calls, product decisions, customer decisions. And if I don't make them and he don't make them, nobody makes them. So a lot of decision also falls between two chairs when I have a co-founder.
So what happened in your co-founder relationship? It sounds like in general, there were things that were not being communicated about that were getting missed. And you yourself found some change in the way that you were working that you weren't happy about. But what's sort of the story of it falling apart?
Well, yeah, it's a long story. The shorter version is that I started the first company in 1998. We were four people starting up, three students and one freelancer. So we built a, our foundation was built on this freelancer's revenue that we would all help with whatever we could help with. But again, it wasn't really discussed who was doing what and who had what role. We were all like owners, part equally owners, but we didn't discuss who would be the sale guy, who would be the implementer. And really fast, we started discussing things and yelling at each other. And after 2 years, 1.5 years, me and one of the guys decided that we needed to split up. So we bought the two others out of the company. But that really, it helped on the screaming and yelling because we didn't fight, but we didn't communicate either. So things just got worse and worse. And in 2003, we went bankrupt with the company because we didn't have enough income to keep it afloat. We had a big space we rented and employees, and nobody was really selling. So we had a lot of confusion about who did what and what direction to take the company.
So when you originally began to work with this team, it wasn't as if you each brought a unique skill set. You didn't have like a tech person and a marketing person, and you were all kind of technologically savvy.
Three of us were still studying to be civil engineers, and the third had dropped out earlier, but had started studying to be a civil engineer. So we were all civil engineering kind of people, even though I'm more a sales guy than a civil engineer. But that's the trade we had back then. And we just started up for fun because we thought we could do better than other people. And actually my original motivation, my internal motivation for starting up were I had a boss I didn't like, so I thought I could do better than him. And I don't know why the other started up, but pretty fast, in a couple of months after we started up, it started being about the money, about big cars and making millions. In Denmark, the crown is not as strong as the dollar, so millions is a couple of hundred grand, but still a lot of money for...
So that's doable.
Yeah, it's doable, but at the same time, this is like 17 years ago, so there's been some inflation. So it was a lot of money for young kids back then, and there were really no direction. The ship was just moving around randomly wherever there were some money to be made. There were no understanding of why we did what we did, no one setting a path. So it was all random.
Yeah, so there's sort of a lot of problems that were present in the beginning. And it sounds like, I know this happens with other founders, but it sounds like you had a group of people who like each other, who had common interests, and you were kind of like, over beers one day, hey, let's start a company. And you were motivated and smart and started making some money, but there wasn't really any structure to the way that you organized yourselves in the relationship or the way that you organized the company, really.
We had no structure whatsoever. We did have some documents, at least. You know, we did go to a lawyer to get proper documentation. We also had a professional board, but it's so long time ago, I don't remember if they gave us good advice or bad, or if we didn't listen. I guess mostly we didn't listen to the advice they gave us. So we just did whatever we wanted to, even though we paid them a lot of money to be a professional board. We didn't have any clear definition of who did what. We tried some things, but it wasn't like people were in on it. So people got appointed, you should do this, but they didn't want to do it. So it just really didn't work.
So, and there was really no reason to have co-founders except, hey, we like each other, we want to have a company together. Like there was no company-driven reason to work together.
There was no. And I don't even remember why we started up for people together. It was more like we hang out, we did some projects together. I don't even know if we liked each other that much. We didn't see each other privately that much. So it was more this strange coincidence that happened upon us than a clear choice to start a business.
And tell me about yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
I've met you. You seem relatively calm, but
well, I was,
yelling and
I was,
screaming, what?
I was the mediator always, so I didn't do most of the yelling and screaming. I don't know if we had some bad talks where people were really unpleasant to each other. And it was just that I think that the motivation for going to work and the reason and was so different between the guys and me that we just couldn't communicate. You know, we really spoke from different places in the world, and they just really didn't function well. So it was, every meeting was unpleasant. Every meeting was mediation all the way through, trying to reach a compromise that nobody really liked.
So it's sort of like starting a marriage when you can't get along when you're dating.
Yeah. And having an abusive partner or something like that. It was really strange. Thinking about it now, it was really strange.
So you and one partner bought the others out. And then when the two of you remained, you mentioned that there just wasn't a lot of communication. You didn't talk very much. You weren't on the same page about where the business was going and what you were working on. How did you dissolve the partnership in the end?
Well, again, that's a sad story because we went bankrupt, but we kept on. Before we went bankrupt, I lost sight on one eye from stress. I have gotten it back again. It was a sclerosis attack. I don't have sclerosis, but I had a sclerosis attack because of stress. And then in halfway through, I started doing Taoist Tai Chi, which slowly built up my confidence and my courage. So I started being able to make better decisions for myself. And like 5 years after I started doing Tai Chi, I finally had enough courage to realize that no matter what happened, the business partnership I was in would never be good for me. So I had to leave it. So in the end, after a lot of thoughts and a lot of help from professional therapist, I made the decision and got a lawyer to help me write an email and quit my job. We had a legal employment document. So I quit my job and I offered at that point we were three partners. So I offered the other two partners to buy my share for nothing, even though we've just closed a million crowners deal. So the company were possibly more worth than I sold it for, but just to get out of it. So I stopped working with them. It was a decision I made, and it was probably the hardest decision I've made in my life. I was physically sick from making that decision. I was shaking, and I was just so sick.
It sounds like it was a very tearing decision. Really, you had to walk away with not much to show for the work that you had done over the years.
I walked away with a laptop and a few smaller clients. I've helped build a big product, spent years building it, and I had to make the decision if I wanted to live my life or not live my life. And I luckily chose to live my life.
And in retrospect, now you've had some years space and some time to reflect on these events. Was this just doomed from the beginning, or do you think there were things that could have been done along the way to salvage it or make it a healthier co-founder relationship?
No, I think it was doomed from the beginning. Our values and motivation wasn't aligned and probably never would be. So if you don't start out by understanding your own values and your own whys and aligning them with your co-partners, I don't think you ever will have a successful partnership, because at some point down the line, one partner wanna go right and the other wanna go left. And looking back at what we did and what I did, it was 10, 11 years of struggle where I always wanted to go right, doing it more humane, more become more happy, not making money, a lot of money, but having fun, making a change in the universe. And my partners, all of them always wanted more money and more big gigs and pats on the shoulder. So it was really a struggle between what we wanted with our lives.
So being on the same page from the beginning, both about the particular roles that people will play in the company and about the values and directions that are important to the company, that just seems essential. Like the kind of foundation one and two have to be in order for there to be a successful co-founder relationship. Are there other things that you wish you had known when you were starting out?
I wished I think I already knew it, you know, somewhere in me, but I wish I'd sat down every week and discussed not the numbers, but the direction. of the company and what we want to do in the next month or next year. A more honest talk. I also wish I had been better at discussing the past. What did we do the last month that didn't work? What do we want to do different the next month to make it work? We never really discussed when we failed at something. And if we discussed it, it was mostly pointing fingers and blaming people, shaming people. I wish I had known how powerful a feeling shame is and how extremely important it is to avoid it at all cost, because that's one of the things we always did. We always shamed and blamed each other for everything. So a lot about communication and about keeping things aligned, that's really important in my view now.
And some of the nuts and bolts of how to be in a healthy adult relationship, that blame and shame are not helpful, and that yelling and screaming are not helpful, that when there's not a commitment to work things out in a healthy, productive, kind way, it's very difficult for business to get done.
Yeah, I really believe that it needs to be a healthy relationship, and it doesn't matter if it's a wife or a husband or if it's a business partner. The foundation for a healthy relationship is the same. It's about, you know, transparency and good communication and aligned goals, so you don't work against each other. And it should be the same in the private life as in business.
Many of the founders that I've talked with have talked about the overlap between the co-founder relationship and a marriage. And you've, again, just made that connection. Why do you think that is an important kind of conceptualization for co-founders when they are beginning their relationship?
Well, because it's having a good and healthy business is about having a healthy connection to your co-partner, if you have one. If you don't have a healthy connection, all your energy and all your creativity will go into this bad connection where you either try to ignore it or fix it or avoid it. And if there's one part of your partner you don't like and you start using a lot of energy to avoid that, the partner will feel like you are trying to avoid the partner, and this unhealthy, unbalanced relationship will evolve out of it. So it's just balance and communication is so important, both in the private life and in the business life, that yeah, you can't do without it.
So moving forward, do you think you will continue to be a solo founder, or do you anticipate maybe at some point working with a business partner again?
To be honest, I'm still saying that I'll never have a partner again. I've said stuff like that before that didn't turn out to be true. I'm still not feeling strong and balanced enough to have a partner. But I'm starting up some partnerships now. So I'm starting a podcast here in Denmark with a Danish guy where we are equal partners, if you want to call it that. And it feels healthy, and we are having some good discussion about it before and after each episode. So I'm learning, and it's something I'm struggling with, and I have to be much better at it before I want to do a 50-50 agreement with anyone again. But you should never say never, but probably not. Probably I'm a single founder.
And that seems important to know what needs to be in place for you should you decide to be in a partnership with someone in this way again.
Yeah, you need to understand yourself and your own needs and your own values before you can really start partnering up with people. And I'm still not sure about all that about me. So I'm still mostly using my spare energy on myself, and then when I understand myself really good, I probably could go into a partnership again, but it's not on my horizon right now.
Anything else you'd like to share about this topic, or any other reflections that you think would be helpful for our listeners to think through as we're doing this series on co-founder relational health?
Yeah, I'm thinking that one question you could ask yourself when you are thinking about having a co-founder and you have a specific person in mind is that, would you like to be employed at this guy's company? Because if you wanted to be employed, it might be okay to do a partnership. But if you're thinking, no, I wouldn't be employed at this guy because I don't like the way he do X, Y, and Z, you probably shouldn't go into a partnership, because it's actually harder, you know, being in a partnership than being employed at people.
So that's a good question. Like, essentially, do you want this person for your boss? And if you don't want them for your boss, you probably shouldn't be their partner.
Exactly. It's a really strong question to ask yourself, because it's about framing. And when you frame it that way, it becomes much clearer if it makes sense to work with somebody. So you could also do it with customers or employees and everybody. But when we're talking about co-founders, I think it's important to ask yourself, would you be employed at this guy or would you employ this guy? So if you can say yes to both, you know, that's a good starting point for a partnership, because you will be employing him at some point and you will be employed by him at some point. So you need to accept both to have a healthy relationship.
Great. Well, I think that's an excellent question to get people kind of thinking about the fit between themselves and a potential co-founder. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me. I appreciate you always engaging your own story with vulnerability and integrity. So it's helpful to hear kind of how badly it can go when people don't start off with a strong foundation.
It can go so bad.
And I'm glad that you have extricated yourself from that situation and regained some balance and some personal health and have now found a whole array of activities that are meaningful and valuable to you. So you've risen from it.
I have, and I have learned so much, and I'm participating in this podcast and others just because I know that getting my story out there will help others to change course in their lives and hopefully do something that is better for them than what they otherwise would have done. So that's all I want out of it.
Well, thanks again, Anders. I look forward to seeing you at the next MicroConf, I think.
Exactly.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life.